Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your 1 minute parenting coach. What are you watching with your family? Philippians 4:8 tells us whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Watching faith-based films can be a great way to immerse your family in stories that align with God's values, opening up conversations that point to truth and inspire faith. This week, ask yourself, are the films we watch building up our faith or distracting from it? Are we choosing movies that encourage virtue and promote positive messages? Faith-based films can offer an opportunity to enjoy entertainment that reflects God's love, grace, and truth. What if you made it a regular habit to watch movies together that not only entertain, but also strengthen your family's walk with God? Try it out, and I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show here on American Family Radio.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, November the 5th, 2025, in case you're wondering. And in studio with me, I'll introduce my panel here that's joining me to comment on the events of the day and fate of the world, whatever else they want to talk about. Ed Vitagliano, good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
I'm glad to be here.
Are you really?
I am glad to be here.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's from your heart.
From my heart, okay. I am glad to be here.
Okay. Jeff Shreve would say that's from his heart.
That's right, yeah, from his heart.
From his heart. All right, Fred Jackson.
Yes, great to be with you on this happy day.
Yes. Fred's chair is jacked up 6 inches higher than everybody else's in the studio, so Fred is peering down at all of us.
Well, you know those Canadians are, right?
Yeah,
right?
I think they're superior.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to jack my seat up here. I don't know. I can't. I feel like a little kindergartner in front of my principal here. Now I feel better.
Now we're speaking at the same level.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
What happens is, obviously, there's other radio programs throughout the day, and so we get different chair heights. And
people come in here.
People come in. Somebody's already messed with, quote, my computer.
Yeah, or my chair.
Your chair.
What's always funny to me at church is if you're able to watch we all do this. In every church in America that I've ever been to, people sit in the same place, basically, if they can't. And when they can't, and somebody, a visitor's come in and unbeknownst has sat in the seat of somebody that got their normal place, they may not say anything, but you can see the visceral reaction.
It's a topic of discussion at lunch.
You can see the reaction. Yes, you can see the reaction, you know, like you're, walk up to the seat. Welcome to our church. Would you scoot down?
That's not what I say.
What do you say?
I say
we sit here.
I'd say this is our seat.
you lay it right out.
You're going to have to move.
Like it or lump it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and if you have a church that's usually pretty close to being full, then visitors are always going to be in somebody's seat.
Yeah.
And it just depends on how.
What I got a problem is with the ushers who know we sit there. they still take a visitor to sit down.
They should play defense. Right. And just tell them, no, you can't sit
they
here.
They need to have a section for visitors.
There you go. You know, separate them off.
Into the off to the side.
Fence
to
them
the
off.
Back.
Oh, kind of.
You know, until they're ready
like,
to commit an offering.
Kind of yes. like
if
mask.
If they want to start paying to sit there, I got no problem with that.
And kind of like a mask section during COVID and a non-mask section.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Segregation.
You could just label that section strangers.
Yeah. Just put a little sign up there say, welcome, strangers.
What's the?
You sit here.
What is a pilgrim or now, passing through? Or,
yeah, there you go. Aliens and strangers.
If you want to start tithing, we'll move you up. Other than that, don't complain. Do you think that's a good welcoming program for a church?
Absolutely. What could go wrong?
Yeah, that's funny.
All right. We got a lot to talk about today. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And Abraham Hamilton III, who is the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central. He's also a constitutional attorney. He will be with us, and we'll see what comes up with Brother Abe when we talk to him. What's leading the news, Fred?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't sound very happy, Fred. Not very positive.
I tell you what, if you are a Democrat, you are celebrating today. We've been talking about the elections that were upcoming, and they were held yesterday. And in New York City. And Virginia.
Yeah.
And New Jersey. It is an understatement to say that the Democrats did well. Let's start with probably the most high-profile race, and that was the mayor of New York City. Zoran Mamdani is the mayor-elect of that the largest city in the country. And it wasn't a surprise that he won because all the polls were saying he was way out in front. But last night, he had reason to celebrate. Here's a little bit of his victory speech, cut number one.
For as long as we can remember, the working people of New York have been told by the wealthy and the well-connected that power does not belong in their hands. If anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. I refuse to apologize for any of this.
Yeah, so that is Mamdani, Zoran Mamdani last night celebrating.
Why did he say he's a Muslim?
Because he is one.
But
what if somebody said, I am a Christian? And the media would be saying, oh my goodness.
Can't bring religion
into
politics.
He's a Christian nationalist.
And you can't bring religion into politics.
Don't bring religion into politics. But you can.
I think that was directed at President Trump, too. I think he's saying, okay. President Trump doesn't like me because I'm a Muslim and a socialist, and I'm declaring that I'm both, and I'm proud of it. And he obviously had a room full of his supporters.
Okay, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yo, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so he won. He won handily, right?
He won handily. Katie Pavlich is one of those Fox contributors. She talks about the fact this guy is a democratic socialist, as we've been talking about, and he's out there, and Katie Pavlich thinks this guy is dangerous. Cut number eight.
But the fact is that Americans are still struggling with the prices that they have to pay for everyday items like groceries and gas. Now, his solutions to that will only make it worse. And more broadly speaking, this is not just about Mamdani taking over New York City and getting into the mayor's office. This is about a socialist movement across the country that is very organized through the Democratic Socialists. Last night, one of the biggest cheers he got during his victory speech was when he said, I'm a Democratic Socialist. And they have an organized movement that is ready to put candidates like Mamdani into blue districts, ultimately to take over Congress, to take over city halls, to take over the White House potentially, eventually. And so this is not just something that is isolated to New York City. This is a very powerful, organized movement with lots of money that has been put into play here all over the country.
Okay. So Mamdani won.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the most liberal mayor ever in New York City, and that's saying a lot. Because they had de Blasio, they've had others. Oh, now
they had, like, was it Ted Lindsay in the 70s, early 80s?
Ted Lindsay?
Yeah, he was very liberal.
Him, yeah. Anyway, so they go ahead.
Would you classify someone who self-proclaimed communist a liberal?
No,
or
well, him, I don't know.
Say he's a communist.
He's the most far left. I put it that way.
That makes sense.
He's not a classical liberal, and he doesn't call himself one. Mm-hmm. He's a Democrat. In fact, they don't like liberalism. Mm-hmm. They don't. They consider them to be the old guard of the Democrat Party, which they're at war with. Mm-hmm. AOC has said as much.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he won. So we'll see what happens next. There are three, four things that this guy is going to champion that are, I got to see where he goes with this and the ramifications. I think we all kind of know where it's going to. He is very anti-police.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like in defund the police. Now, he backtracked that. somewhat because he didn't want to seem like he was for against the police altogether. He backed.
Yeah, he did, and I don't understand why he would, but yeah.
But he didn't.
To get elected.
Okay. Yeah. And he wanted to attract some people who were worried about crime.
Yeah.
It's by saying, I'm not completely against the police.
Yeah.
But then he's for city-run grocery stores.
Yeah. That is correct.
Now, why would you do that?
Well, allegedly, that he says that will allow us to lower grocery prices. Now, here's the problem with that. The groceries are going to come from outside of New York City. There aren't too many Henry's. There aren't too many vegetable gardens in New York City.
Right.
They're going to have to still purchase at wholesale prices controlled by states like Iowa and Texas. So how is he going to do that? It hasn't worked in other places.
Well, what does that do to Kroger and other grocery stores who are in competition with one another? And then in comes this government-run grocery store that sets the prices that are lower than the stores I've just mentioned.
Well, the problem is going to be that. And to answer Fred's question, yes, sir, these government-run grocery stores will buy at wholesale prices from outside the city, but then the government of New York City will subsidize.
Right.
They'll subsidize the prices so they become, quote-unquote, more affordable.
Right, right.
So the prices, yes, in those government-run grocery stores go down. What Mamdani is saying is that will force Kroger, we'll use them as an example, to lower their prices because they don't really need to have the prices where they're at. They're just price gouging everyday American. Now they'll be forced to lower their prices. The fact is that the amount of profit these grocery stores, their profit margins extremely low. So they are not going to be able to lower their prices and stay in business because they're not getting government subsidies.
Yes.
They will go out of business in New York City, or they will move out before they go out of business. And then all you'll have in New York City, probably some upscale places where the wealthy can buy their groceries, but you will have to have government-run grocery stores all across the city, and then New York City will go broke.
Wesley, go ahead, Wesley.
Well, so I'm looking at his website, and right here it says they want to freeze the rent, so no paying rent.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yeah. So no paying rent. They want free.
He's going to freeze the rent. He's going to set. Yes, he wants to set the price of. Rental homes.
That's right.
Right. Our apartments.
Yeah.
Can I just jump in before we go and say why that's a bad idea? And is it going to work? Well, here's the thing. You artificially freeze rent, and then the consequence of that is you now lessen the amount of rental property that's available. Because the only reason why people buy abandoned buildings, fix them up, and then rent them out is so that they can make money. Mm-hmm. And if you freeze the rent, they can't make money, so they stop buying buildings. This happened before when New York City had rent freezes. And also what happens is that people who own the buildings can't sell them. Because nobody wants to buy a building that you can't make money from renting. So you know what they did? And I think this was in the 80s. They burn them. They commit arson. So they at least get their insurance money. So all this communist garbage always backfires because you can't cure human nature. No one's going to buy rental property if they're going to lose money.
How about free busing?
Okay, that's his number two. You got free busing. Then you've also got free child care. You've also got, we already mentioned city-owned grocery store. So subsidized food or
free child care.
Yeah.
And free what?
Free public transportation.
Public transportation.
Oh, that'll work really well in New York. Free public transportation. I wonder who's going to be laying on all the seats.
Yep.
A massive increase in
including
taxes
subways?
For wealthy New Yorkers. So they're
you go
be
for it, New York. You go for it. See how this is going to work out for you. My guess is he's not going to be able to do half that stuff.
And I hope he could.
I hope he can.
At this
because
point.
Because we need to all, the world
all need
to
watch.
Yeah. The world needs to watch it.
Without it costing the country.
But,
right. That makes sense.
But if I'm an owner of an apartment complex, for example, and I'm a landlord or I'm an owner of an apartment building and that's how I make a living, I don't see how it's constitutional for this guy to come in and say, set the rates by the government and saying whatever losses I have. I have to absorb. Or is he going to say the government will pay you?
I don't know what the specifics
okay, anyway,
of his plan would
free
be.
Stuff for everybody doesn't work, people. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. That's not the real world.
Well, New York City's going to go broke. If they do pay the difference,
yeah,
if New York City says, all right, you own the building, you bought it thinking that you could have whatever price you want for rental, well, we're going to freeze it here, and whatever you would have had, we are going to make up the difference. That city's going to go broke in a hurry.
Okay. One last thing and then I want to move on from talking about the mayor of New York City because I don't live there and they can do what they want to. Obviously, they will do what they want to the people of New York, but they're going to live to regret this.
Sure.
But go ahead and do it. It's kind of like, but I will say this, what you're going to see more than anything else, and they've already got a problem here. This guy is an Alvin Bragg type person when it comes to law and order and crime. He believes in social justice to the hilt. And so you're not going to have almost anything prosecuted in New York. Why? Because he believes that the criminals have had an unfair shot at life and they don't need to be prosecuted by the law for their wrongdoings.
Yeah, and it organically pushes out anybody with a moral compass or somebody that wants to do right. Because if you're an officer, play this scenario. If you're an officer and you want to follow the law, but in this case your leaders are against you, then you're going to go. Most likely, you're going to be incentivized to go somewhere else where the community supports you. So then you're left with
right. It's going to be bad.
Potentially bad.
Come back and see me in 2 years after this guy. Sure.
Let me just add this one other thing if you want to move on after that, because this is why I have a little bit of optimism that what's about to happen in New York City is not going to
encouraging Ed. That's what I'm calling you.
That's what I'm going to encourage our listeners.
Encouraging Ed speak.
And I don't think this is necessarily going to spread across the country because I'm looking at the New York Times, and I can't click through to get – it's behind a paywall – but I can read this. This is the opening paragraph. It says about a third of the city's population was born abroad. Okay.
Like now, instead of a man?
I would never call women broads.
Oh, I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Nor would I. I just thought I was trying to help you.
Yeah, I'm sure you were trying to.
All right.
Yeah, you were trying to throw me on one of those free buses.
They were born in other countries.
They were born in other countries, and here's why I say that. Now, my mom, you know, I come from immigrants. My mom's family was first generation from Greece. My dad was third generation from Italy. I'm not saying immigrants or immigration's bad. I'm saying what we're seeing in places like New York City, we're going to jump over to Virginia, Northern Virginia, Atlanta, okay? We're seeing the
Chicago.
Politics. Some of these cities are shifting because people are moving from other countries, bringing their values that are not necessarily jiving with the rest of America, and they're voting those values.
Yep.
And you're going to see
some
that
legal,
continue.
Some illegal.
Yes, I absolutely believe that. So that is something to keep in mind. A third of the population of New York City are not native born Americans. What are their beliefs and values?
Wow.
Speaking of that, I mean, you sound like it's a joke, but those people, like my mom and Dami, And AOC and people like that, they don't believe you should have to you should be a legal citizen to have to vote.
That's right.
Right.
This is how wackadoodle these folks are.
And they believe the government should pay for me.
Yeah.
That's why they can't
Where are they going to get out? Where is he going to get all this money? That's what everybody wants to know. Where is he going to get all this money? Because if he starts, quote, soaking the rich, guess what the rich are going to do? Florida.
Yeah.
Or Long Island. Well, I don't know if Long Island, I don't think that's a part of the city, but anyway, they're going other places. They're not going to sit there. I don't care how liberal you are. You don't want people taking your money.
Right.
Right. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. But so that's what happened in New York City last night.
Virginia, Democrat Abigail Spanberger will be the new governor.
Well, we got some names here, don't we?
Yes.
Zoran Mondami, and now we got what?
Abigail Spanberger.
Okay.
All right. She won handily over her Republican competitor, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears. Was no problem there. So one of the things being watched also in Virginia was the Democrat who was running for attorney general. We've talked about him, Jay Jones. You remember during the campaign, it was discovered he made a couple of social media posts talking about killing a political enemy and his children.
No, they were private text.
Yep. Yeah, they weren't
social media posts.
Text. They were discovered.
Right. But there's a difference between posting on Facebook.
Right.
And a private text. I just wanted to distinguish there. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. Anyway, those texts went public. But it didn't seem to matter to the voters there. He won handily over the existing attorney general there in Virginia, Jason Mayers. So it was basically a clean sweep. By the way, the person who won the lieutenant governor last night in Virginia is a Muslim as well, a female Muslim, a woman Muslim. So it was a clean sweep. I was listening to Bishop Jackson last night. He was filling in for Abe Hamilton, and he was talking about the Virginia issue. Basically, politics in Virginia, driven by the heavy population in Loudoun County and in the north part of Virginia, which has a lot of government employees, and perhaps the government shutdown had something to do with how the vote went there.
Yeah. You know, I think Virginia's been a purple state, but the Republicans shocked the world 4 years ago by winning all three statewide elections, that is governor, lieutenant governor, and AG. But the Democrats blew them out of the water yesterday, and I almost say you could call Virginia a blue state now. I mean, I think
well, because of Northern Virginia. The rest of the states probably, well, with some exceptions.
Yeah, Northern Virginia, those aren't native Virginians,
right.
Okay? Those are people who moved in from out of the country or from other states.
To work in D.C.
Yeah. So it's a suburb. Basically, it's become a suburb of Washington, D.C., which is 99% blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? That's just extending out into Northern. I would, if I were Virginia, I would be willing to donate those counties to Maryland. Can you do that?
Brexit?
I don't know.
Rich counties. Just say Maryland.
You want that tax base? Take
them, please.
Virginia,
take them.
You want that tax base?
I don't. Anyway, except for I think maybe Norfolk, not Norfolk, but there's. There's a little part of the coast there in Virginia and Richmond proper, and then the suburbs of Washington, D.C. Other than that, the whole state's red.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right, we'll be back in a moment with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's issue is the name of this show. American Family Radio is the station you're listening to. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And now Abraham Hamilton III joins us. Abe, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning.
Abe's the host of the Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon, weekdays on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. So we've been talking about the election results, which, you know, I know people are going, well, it all went Democrat. And I'm going like, well, duh. These are all blue states. I mean, were we surprised? Except maybe Virginia, you might say it's a purple state. But the fact that Democrats won in New York City and New Jersey is not going to be breaking news here, okay? Before we get to your thoughts on this, I wanted to quote President Trump was asked about this, about the election results. He said, I think if you read the pollsters, the shutdown, we don't have this on audio, right? The shutdown was a big factor, negative for the Republicans. And that was a big factor, he's the leader of the Republicans, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But he's talking like it's their fault when he's the leader of the Republicans.
I think he's explaining that. I don't think he's blaming the Republicans shutdown. Well,
No, he's not.
He's explaining the fallout, the consequences of the Republicans sticking to their guns.
He said, I think if you read the pollsters, the shutdown was a big factor. Negative for the Republicans, and that was a big factor. And they say that I wasn't on the ballot, and that was the biggest factor. But I don't know about that, but I was honored that they would say that. So,
is that in the quote? I was honored?
That's what he said. That's what Trump said. He was honored. He's why are you laughing, Abe? Do you think he's not trolling right here? This is just. This is egomaniac coming out in Trump.
This is amazing.
He's done a great thing, but the leopard doesn't change his spot. Is that what they say? Why are you laughing so much?
I think it's hilarious.
What?
I think it's hilarious. I don't know if it's
okay.
I don't know if it's the way you're saying it or the way you're reading it.
I'll just read it like you said. This Fox News website, Trump added, and they say, Trump's good on that, isn't he? They say. That I wasn't on the ballot.
And that's why Republicans lost.
Yes, and that was the biggest factor, he said.
That was the biggest factor.
Yes, but I don't know about that, he said. But I was honored that they said that.
All right.
Why is that funny, Ed? Is that funny to you?
No, I mean, it wasn't funny to me. I think I'm not saying that you can't find
Abe's murder. Laughing, Wesley's laughing. Yeah, you're not guys, laughing. Is that funny to you?
No, because I think what President Trump was saying is that I don't mean to put it this way, but he's the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And that's why Republicans won in Virginia, because his coattails, as it were, in 2024 were bringing Republicans along, even in places, including battleground states, even in places where they might not ordinarily do as well. Right. So
he was talking about.
Go ahead.
He also said. He said these reasons, and he also said, "Also the Jews." He said were the reason, one of the reasons that they lost.
He didn't say that.
No, I'm just kidding. I just want our listeners to know.
Yeah, we're just joking around.
You know, I'm playing on the joke that it's not funny oftentimes, but you know, Jews are blamed for everything.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, go ahead, Abe.
I just found it funny because it's almost like. He can't help himself, you know. Like, well, they lost because I wasn't on the ballot. But the truth is, like Virginia, for example, Glenn Youngkin and Jason Meijer won the year after he lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is true. That wasn't,
he wasn't on the ballot.
It wasn't 2024.
He wasn't on the ballot then either.
That's just blessed his heart.
You know, it's just
God love him. That's how he is.
He's like.
Republicans didn't have a chance because I wasn't on the ballot yesterday. That's what he said. Anyway, all right, let's talk about what do we want to talk about?
You actually set it up, and then you went and you said, before I do.
I got distracted?
You got distracted.
You distracted yourself, though. I wouldn't brag about that.
I do that in golf.
I do that just in regular life. I distract myself. I would like to know what
Abe
thinks.
Yeah, you take over.
Well, I'd just like to know what Abe thinks about Zohran Mamdani.
We're going to
get some time to say this. We're going to, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, yes. We're going to get really good at saying Zohran Mamdani.
We may go ZM.
Did you say Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
That's it.
No, but that's headed our direction this weekend.
Polar cortex?
Is that what you said?
No.
You said cortex, right?
We are far
away. No, a cortex is a vortex in November.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that. I went to meteorology school for like a month, and then I had to drop out, and I learned this about cortex and vortex.
Yeah, cortex.
So
and
not
vortex.
General public doesn't know this,
right?
So we can talk about it later. Okay, back to your question.
And your professor was just an old broad, wasn't she?
you said that. I didn't say that. Talk to Abe about.
All right, so Abe,
get serious? Go ahead and talk to Abe.
Yes, sir. So I'd like to know what you think about Mamdani's election. And second of all, do you think this points to a larger movement that would affect the rest of the nation? You think this is a one-off? You think it's just because of the particular circumstances in New York City? What's your take on Mamdani?
So I'll start with the latter part first. I do think this is an indication of something with broader implication for the nation as a whole, because every major Democrat endorsed Mamdani. Mm-hmm. So the Mamdani platform, if you will, it's not hyperbolic to say it's the Democrat Party's platform.
Yeah.
Where you have the Democrat leader in the House of Representatives to endorse Mamdani. You have every popular Democrat.
Now, did Obama? I read where he didn't.
He didn't say anything, but here's the thing. They either endorsed Mamdani or didn't say anything. There has not been any Democrats who've come out and condemned any aspects of Zohran Mamdani's outward. And he even said last night in his victory speech that he's pounding his chest saying that I'm a socialist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said it out loud.
A Democrat socialist.
I'm a Democrat
Muslim,
socialist.
What he said.
I'm a Muslim, which brings me to another point that you are either a Muslim or a progressive. Because you can't be both. When did you last time did you see a committed devout Muslim support things like, I don't know, homosexuality.
Right.
Transgenderism.
That's a good point.
And things of these things. So they both can't be true. Either you are a lukewarm Muslim, not truly devout, or you are a devout Muslim practicing the doctrine of taqiyya.
That's right.
In order to gain power.
Deception.
And all is the doctrine of taqiyya in Islamic theology says you can lie in order to get Islam in power.
False, yeah.
Right.
Well, so is that happening? And then the third thing is just because I can't escape the reality of this, having been aware of this process throughout history. While we right now in Dearborn, Michigan and Hamtramck, Michigan, I had Israel Wayne on my show a couple weeks ago who lives in Michigan to where he said in Dearborn, it's not formal Sharia law, but it's functional.
That's right.
Sharia law, where you have Christians in the year of our Lord 2025 who are being stoned for trying to evangelize in Dearborn. We just had a terrorist plot that was just caught up, and it's amazing that you had all of these news stories saying a terrorist plot, but the criminal complaint says they were working for ISIS. Uh-huh. But none of the news stories mentioned ISIS. And this is on, they called it in their private chat, Pumpkin Day. We need to do this on Pumpkin Day. This all just happened. So my question is, or what I'm pondering, knowing the trajectory of Islam throughout this the history in every place where they've gained prominence, it was, we are immigrants, we are hospitable, we are peaceful, we are neighborly.
Until they're not. Until
there's a critical mass population-wise.
Right.
Into where they can enforce what they really believe, and then it's domination with jizya taxes and dhimmis. Yeah. Is that happening in our own country?
There are no constitution.
I can't help but think about it.
Right.
Yeah, well, right. France is 10% Muslim now. We see what's happening in the UK and other Western countries.
Just 10%, but Hamtramck, Michigan is 60% Muslim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, in some places it's much higher than 10%.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
I'm saying
what happened in France.
I'm saying
for
the whole country of France.
Yeah,
that's
for the whole country.
Population. Yeah.
And it started somewhere in Dearborn. It's a majority of Muslims now. Mm-hmm. Hamtramck is more percentage-wise, even though it's a smaller city, than Dearborn, on the right outside of Detroit, Michigan. I mean, this is happening right now, so I can't help but
you know,
consider all of that.
You're right happening. That a devout Muslim, somebody who follows Islam, and is not going to champion the LGBTQ cause.
They're not even allowed to support democracy or a republic.
That's right.
They're not allowed to support it. They're not allowed to vote.
I think he's a Muslim by culture.
Well, that's.
I don't think he's a practicing Muslim. Does he turn toward Mecca 5 times a day? Does he wear a beard and not a mustache?
This is why you don't want to elect a Muslim, because they do have what Abe is mentioning, is that they can lie in order to
communists
get power.
Do too. You know, you can lie to well, humankind lies to get an advantage. Sure. I want to know when the media is going to come out and
question them about the
about being a Muslim nationalist.
Well,
a Muslim internationalist.
Well, or what about intertwining his
This guy has said out loud, and he's going to be unabashed. Now you're talking about, he's barely been trying to soften his views for the general public.
Well, now he's elected.
Now he's elected. He's going to go full throttle as much as he can on this stuff. And he said,
which stuff now are you talking about? Muslim stuff or the
communist? Well, not Muslim stuff. I'm talking about all the communist stuff that he's advocating for basically, to simplify it, the government taking over everything and free stuff for everybody. And also, basically, soft on crime. It's going to be
anti-police.
Anti-police. But what I wanted, what I was talking about was, this is a guy who has said to the public that if Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel lands his plane in New York City, the New York City Police Department will arrest him.
Yes.
And hold him to send him to The Hague, I guess, or charge him with.
International Criminal Court.
Yes, yes. Think about that for a minute. The Prime Minister of Israel, he said he will arrest him if he lands in New York City. Let me remind you, I don't know if Benjamin Netanyahu, he would probably, if he was, he probably will have to come and speak at the UN should he remain Prime Minister sometime in the near future. But what is also bizarre about this, this is why I don't, what I'm about to say is why I don't think he, I think the Muslim part is just cultural and not going to be a part of his agenda. This is my own take. It's going to be more the communist part, the Democrat socialist part that's going to dominate him, is because because he's so closely identified with all these other left-wing causes like the LGBTQ causes, I don't think he's going to use Islam to, because, oh, I know what I was going
to
say. I lost my train of thought there, but I fooled all of you, didn't I? and I was about to lose on that fooling y'all. But I was going to say that he, in New York City, there are more Jews than there are anywhere in the world except Israel. So the fact that this guy was able to win in a town where probably 20% of the population is Jewish, I'm talking about in the city proper, okay, yeah. The voters, the five boroughs, is I wonder how the Jewish vote went in this election. See if you can type that in, because I think if they were really worried about him promoting his Islamic beliefs any more than he's that he would, like promoting Sharia, for example, mm-hmm. he would be the Jews would not vote for him. But I think he probably I'm gonna guess he got 50% of the Jewish vote. I'm just gonna guess. Anyway?
Okay, this headline. This is apparently a Jewish independent nonprofit newsletter called Forward. Headline says Cuomo dominates Jewish vote in final Quinnipiac poll before the election. We may not have election breakdowns for a week.
Yeah.
Let's see, Cuomo with 60% of likely Jewish voters. And Mamdani, a Democratic Socialist and strident critic of Israel, with 16% of likely Jewish voters saying they were going to vote for him. Now, as to who actually went out to vote and how they voted, we may not find out for a while.
Fred, go ahead, next story.
Okay, I'm on again. Okay,
stay with us, Abe.
Yes, Lara Trump was on Fox and Friends this morning. Lara Trump?
Never heard of her.
Laura?
Yeah, I'm sorry, spelling here. She said this morning that young women were behind the Mamdani victory in New York. I found that kind of interesting. Let's hear what she has to say. Cut 7.
Look at the New York City mayoral race, and at least what the exit polls tell us, the vast majority of the people who elected a Democratic Socialist with communist ideas to New York City's mayor's office were young women. So this is a big deal. We know that Donald Trump performed incredibly well, and Republicans did last election cycle, specifically with young men. But we've got to bring these young women in. And I think the idea that you either have to choose a path of starting a family, being a mother, or a career is erroneous. And I think we have to continue to talk to young women out there about the fact you can do both. I'm proof of that. Erica Kirk is proof of that. Look all across Donald Trump's administration right now. There are so many women who are proof of that.
I'm not sure what she was saying there, that Republicans are perceived to be down on women or oppressive of women, and that Mamdani, for some reason, won their vote because he is more liberal. Maybe it was the universal free daycare, all that sort of thing. But I found that rather interesting. Why would they be deceived, women?
She said they were deceived?
Well, she's a huge number of his supporters were women.
Mamdani?
Yes.
Again, I'm sorry, Abe, go ahead.
Well, feel free to jump in there. That is not something that is aberrant in terms of electoral trends around the country. If you look at, I don't know how this goes on today's issues, but She or Shall Never Be President, the remix, there's certain names that are promoting on Hamilton Corner. The large percentage of her supporters were young women for Kamala Harris.
Talking about HC.
I'm talking about Hillary Clinton Kamala Harris. Democrat voters largely now have become women, and particularly younger women are skewing toward the Democrat Party.
And it would be fair to say that young men are growing increasingly conservative.
That's right.
But young women are growing increasingly leftist.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so this, the electorate in New York City already skews left.
Right. Yeah.
So to have young women driving Zora Mamdani to victory is consistent for the Democrat Party voting bloc across the country. That's not something that's aberrant. But to Fred's question, why is this happening? Largely, one of the major drivers is the abortion issue for young women.
Yeah, and, but that's not even on. That's not even a. I'm not sorry. I'm not
It's not even on a table.
It's not even on a ticket anymore. I mean, that issue is off the table. It's already been resolved. So why?
Well,
why
would that? It's resolved legally, right, because of the Supreme Court ruling. But we all see kind of quote unquote man on the street interviews or on college campuses, and young women have not let it go. In fact, they've become more radical on the issue of abortion because of the Dobbs decision. They see it as having been instigated by Republicans.
Yeah, but in New York City.
But this is part of their ideological view of the world, that Republicans are anti-women, that, you know, they watch Handmaid's Tale. They believe Republicans are coming for their rights, and the Dobbs decision is proof of that.
Yeah, but abortion on demand has always been, if we're talking New York City voters,
right,
has always been the law of the land in New York City, and it's never even been threatened. So I don't know why young women in New York City would go, oh, my gosh,
right,
my abortion rights are going to be taken away.
It's not, oh, my God, for my abortion rights specifically in New York City. It's, oh, my gosh, these people want women
right
in the 1940s in their mind, these people don't.
It's already been settled. Yeah, it's already been settled.
Well, but not for these young women.
Go for it.
I'm not defending it. Yeah. I'm just saying
That's an irrational viewpoint.
Exactly right.
Anyway.
It's an irrational viewpoint.
And they should just calm down.
Tell them, Ed. One more question.
You go tell them, Ed.
For Abe. Virginia.
Yeah.
Glenn Youngkin won on parental rights. Mm-hmm. What happened to that as an issue in this election?
Uh-huh.
Because Abigail Spanberger.
Yeah.
And the other two statewide elections, the Democrats won.
Yes.
Yep.
So what happened? I mean, there's been a huge issue in Virginia. You've got girls on soccer teams and girls saying, boys are coming into my bathrooms.
Yeah.
It's been an issue over and over again.
Yeah.
But it didn't even seem to come up as a major concern.
And you think about this, following Charlie Kirk's assassination in front of the world, the Virginians elected statewide an attorney general candidate who is on the record saying that he wanted to see Republicans killed because of their political position.
And the children.
And their children. And he would desecrate the Republicans' grave. And the Virginians say, yeah, that's what we want, to be the chief law enforcement officer in the entire state.
Okay, you know what that tells me? That tells me that people on the left, increasingly, again, I'm discounting the traditional liberals like Bill Maher, we talk about him, and others who think that the Democratic Party has swung too far to the left into radical wars.
Fetterman.
John Fetterman, Senator,
Pennsylvania.
So I think it indicates that, and polls show this, that on the left, increasingly, they see violence in the service of their political views as being legitimate. I don't think they had a problem with what Jay Jones said.
And to amplify and underscore, not amplify, but to underscore your point, as the party, as we've referred to with Mamdani's example, and the party establishment affirming or at least remaining silent on him, comes more out. One of the main features of Marx's investment in the socialistic panoply was a utilization of violence as a political tool.
Right.
So those things are happening at the same time.
I do have something to add here on Zoran.
You add it.
Zoran
Mamdani.
We covered this pretty good in the first segment, and then I said all I wanted to say until I started scrolling while y'all were talking. So we said, we know how he's going to pay for all the things. Well, he told us how he's going to pay for it. It's on his website. Are you ready? He's going to pay it by taxing corporations and the 1%, top 1% of New Yorkers, wealthiest New Yorkers, 2% in addition to what they already pay, and that's how we're going to pay for it. Okay. We, meaning he.
Well, you know, at least to his credit, this guy, he laid it all out there.
Yeah.
He laid it all out there. He's coming for the top 1%.
Because you know how in years past you'll have someone who is a socialist and you ask them how they're going to pay for it and they give you a non-answer? Well, he told us.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with that is.
Not enough 1%?
No.
Yeah, it's not enough
1%ers. No.
A lot of them are going to leave if they can afford it.
And it's morally wrong.
And he says we're going to just 2% more than they're already paying, which sounds eminently reasonable, but that's not going to fund all the things he wants to do.
It's not going
to
be enough, which again brings me back to one of the first points I made. Are you a Muslim or are you a Marxist? Which one are you? Are you advocating for these these Marxist policies, because deep down, that's your mechanism of kind of taking it to the infidel. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I don't want to be thinking like that, but.
Well, this this sets up the 2026 midterm elections, which are going to be interesting to watch, because right now the Republicans hold a, what, 2 or 3 vote margin in the House of Representatives? Is that right?
Something like that.
It's very, very narrow. And the Senate, Senate's 53-47? Or
right.
What is Sanders?
It's 53-47.
Yeah. Sanders is an independent, but he votes
for
the Democrats.
With the Democrats, yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But, you know, when you look back at this, you go, well, this is not the fact that New York always votes Democrat. They did vote for Rudolph Giuliani a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
So occasionally they'll vote for, but basically it's Democrat country. And New Jersey, same way. So these are
Democrat
not
state. You say
these
country.
Are not surprises that Democrats won in blue states and blue cities. And now Virginia, as I said, is purple. But in this case, the Democrats won all 3 of the statewide offices. Thank you, Abe.
What about Fred? Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Oh, Fred! Thank you, Fred, for your contributions.
We took up his time. He had some more stories there.
Well. We got to talk about the polar cortex coming up here in just a few minutes that Canada's sending us. Thanks, Fred.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.